Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are plunging into a role that is maybe the most misunderstood and least standardized in modern business, the product manager.
The big one.
Yeah, and if you've ever found yourself asking, wait, is this PM supposed to be doing UX research or strategy, or are they just writing user stories? You are definitely not alone.
That ambiguity is really the heart of the matter. The product manager, the PM, is, you know, globally defined as the person responsible for a product's success in the market.
Right.
But as David LeBlanc's analysis makes so clear, the scope of that job is a total chameleon. Mm. It doesn't follow a fixed template. It evolves to absorb whatever critical expertise is missing in the rest of the organization.
The organizational expertise sponge. I like that. So if your company hasn't invested in, say, a dedicated product marketing manager, the PM just wears the marketing hat.
Exactly. Or if there's no specialized data analyst for the product team, well, guess what?
The PM starts writing SQL queries. Yeah, we've all seen it. This is why the role is so hard to pin down.
And it creates this foundational challenge for anyone who's trying to get into the field. The PM's function is, at the end of the day, purely relative. It's determined by the company's maturity and whether key roles like product designer or data scientist or PMM are already there.
And if they're not?
If they aren't, the PM is forced into this state of extreme polyvalence.
So our mission today is to give you a shortcut through all that chaos. We're going to unpack the core function of the PM, clarify that critical distinction between the PM and the product owner, and then drill down into the six foundational profiles that PMs typically come from.
And understanding these profiles shows you the natural bias that every single PM carries into their decision-making process.
We're moving beyond the generic job description to really get at the instincts that drive prioritization.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's unpack this. So let's start with that broad definition. If the PM is an orchestrator, what are they actually orchestrating? What are they putting into harmony?
They're orchestrating the conception, the evolution, and the continuous improvement of the product. They are, first and foremost, a translator.
A translator.
They have to navigate immense complexity. You're talking sales, finance, engineering, legal, the external market, and take this high-level corporate ambition and translate it into a concrete, executable product strategy.
So they are the chief navigator charting the course, but you said their positioning is relative. Does that affect like where they physically sit in the company structure?
Definitely. The bridge they build between business, tech, and the user can be anchored in totally different places. In some orgs, especially those building, say, deep infrastructure or highly technical B2B platforms, the PM is deeply embedded in R&D.
They're almost a technical translator in that case.
They really are. They're translating corporate needs, but they're speaking the language of engineering every single day.
But I imagine in a consumer goods company or, you know, a rapid growth SaaS company, they're positioned much closer to the business side of things.
Exactly. They're pressed right up against the revenue side, acting as the primary, most vocal advocate for the user and client. The focus shifts entirely from technical feasibility to things like market validation and user adoption.
So this variability isn't a flaw in the system?
Not at all. It's a necessity. It proves the role is dynamic by design.
And this fluid definition, it inevitably leads to that classic source of organizational tension, especially in agile teams. The PM versus the PO, the product owner. Why does that split even happen?
It's a necessary specialization that's driven by scale. When the PM role just gets too broad, the organization needs someone laser-focused on execution. The product owner function is precisely that. It is operational management.
So they're focused on the day-to-day, sprint prioritization, refining user stories.
Managing the backlog, making sure the dev team has everything it needs to build today.
So if the product manager is handling the strategic upstream questions, the why and the what, the product owner is managing the strategic execution, the how and the when.
That's it. The PO is tactical, ensuring that vision gets implemented efficiently. And if we connect this back to our central idea, that the PM is forced into being a jack of all trades.
Right, because of missing roles.
The complexity that creates is enormous. So to relieve that pressure, especially as tech teams grow, the most technically grounded PMs naturally migrate or specialize into that dedicated PO role. They're just best equipped for it.
That distinction really helps frame the next point perfectly. Because the PM role is so broad, no one can start out being equally great at strategy, marketing, data, design, and engineering. We all have a starting point.
And that starting point dictates our inherent biases.
Exactly. So let's dive into the first three customer and business drivers, the profiles that are focused on market capture and just getting things moving.
Okay, let's start with profile number one, the commerce profile. We're calling this one the seller.
And where do they typically come from?
Sales, negotiation, business development. So think account managers, key account managers, maybe even pre-sales engineers. Their natural habitat is closing deals and deeply understanding that buyer's journey.
Okay, so these PMs are intensely pragmatic. They're results-oriented. Their superpower is knowing exactly why someone decides to pull out their wallet.
For sure. They are phenomenal at simplifying complex product pitches, tailoring the story for different clients, and just generating immediate tangible results. Their big advantage is that proximity to the revenue stream.
They can mobilize a team instantly to jump on a market opportunity.
Yeah, and they give a lot of confidence to partners and clients that the product is solving their most painful, immediate problems.
But where does this superpower break down? What's the trade-off for that immediate focus?
Low technical mastery is their structural blind spot. Because they are so driven by securing a contract or making a key client happy, they run the risk of what we call selling too early.
Promising features that haven't been technically validated?
Exactly. They will constantly prioritize a new lucrative integration over, say, optimizing existing database queries.
Which leads to immediate revenue, but also critical technical debt down the line if they aren't partnered with strong tech leadership to act as a check.
Absolutely. This profile, by the way, rarely becomes a pure PO. They often evolve into a product marketing manager where they can focus entirely on positioning and go to market.
Got it. Okay, next up is profile two. The management commerce profile, the orchestrator. This one seems less about the external deal and more about the internal plan.
That's right. These PMs usually come from more structured environments, business schools, management consulting, business analyst roles. They are the masters of frameworks.
They speak fluent OKR.
Fluent OKR, lean canvas, every flavor of Advil you can imagine. They are the organizational glue. They excel at facilitating cross-functional decisions, aligning stakeholders, and turning a vague vision into a concrete, well-documented plan.
Their core value is just keeping the momentum going.
Yes, they prevent organizational friction from stalling the product. If you need a perfectly run cross-team meeting that ends with clear action items, you call the orchestrator.
Their limitations seem similar to the sellers, but it's applied to process instead of sales. They also have weak technical roots.
Right, but their risk isn't over-promising. It's over-organizing. They might prioritize organizational speed and political alignment over the product's actual robustness.
So they might spend 2 weeks perfecting an OKR alignment matrix instead of spending 2 days talking to actual users.
Exactly. They can push for a rapid market launch of a technically shoddy solution simply because the process dictated speed. This profile, because of that focus on vision and alignment, often accelerates into leadership roles like head of product or CPO.
That makes a lot of sense. That's their natural path.
It is.
And skipping to profile four, the marketing strategy profile, the experimenter. This group seems defined by speed and market discovery.
This is your growth hacker, your digital strategist. Their superpower is validation through low-cost experimentation. They do not wait for engineering to build an MVP.
They're using landing pages, simple surveys,
fake door tests, anything to validate core hypotheses quickly and cheaply. They bring that essential culture of iteration and learning fast. They cut down risk by confronting an idea with market reality as early as possible.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, their structural limitation is really twofold. First, they often have a superficial view of technical feasibility because they're so far upstream of engineering. And second, they tend to favor short-term indicators.
Acquisition rates, rapid funnel growth.
Over the long-term sustainability of the product or dealing with tech debt, they might optimize for viral loops that completely break the back-end infrastructure 6 months later. They really need a grounding influence.
Okay, that covers the business and market drivers. Now let's look at the profiles defined by execution, structure, and technical grounding. We need these to balance out the others.
We do. We'll begin with profile three, the technician or the builder.
This one feels essential. They are the reality anchor, typically former developers, software architects, or engineers.
Their strength is credibility. They have a deep practical understanding of implementation constraints. They speak the language of the development team fluently,
which lets them adjust the roadmap based on what's realistic
and proactively unblock complex engineering issues. They are invaluable for just reducing implementation risk.
So what's the natural conflict point for this highly skilled builder?
The risk of over-engineering. They might prioritize a technically elegant, super sophisticated solution just because it's interesting or durable.
Before the user need or the business value has been fully validated.
Exactly. They can spend months perfecting an internal API architecture that could have been launched as a simple feature 2 months earlier. Their focus is often on the quality of the build over the speed of delivery.
And this is the crucial profile for that PMPO distinction we talked about, isn't it? If a company needs to split the roles, the technician almost always becomes the product owner.
Absolutely. Their technical grounding and intrinsic comfort with user stories, detailed specs, and backlog management make them the perfect fit for that operational execution role. They are the ideal interface between product strategy and the engineering team.
Okay, moving on to profile 5, the designer or the experience champion.
This PM comes from a UX/UI, service design, or interaction design background. Their entire universe revolves around placing the end user experience, the UX, at the absolute core of every single decision.
They're the empathetic observers. They excel at rapid prototyping, formalizing user needs through observation.
And just making sure the team avoids building features that nobody actually wants or can use. They translate qualitative insights into concrete, testable designs.
What's their blind spot?
The risk of tunnel vision. They often focus solely on the end user voice, and they can lose sight of the paying client, the business model, or just overarching organizational constraints. And like some of the other upstream profiles, they can lack a vision for technical feasibility or scalability.
Right. How their beautiful design might actually create a lot of technical debt.
Exactly.
And finally, profile 6, the data analyst. The objectivist. This is definitely one of the most rapidly emerging and crucial profiles today.
No question. They are grounded in numbers,
statistics,
data science, BI. They master complex querying tools, visualization platforms. Their unique contribution is anchoring decisions in quantifiable reality.
Designing the right metrics, interpreting weak signals in the data.
And using factual evidence to prioritize really complex initiatives. They are the ultimate reality check, making sure we aren't just building what we think users want, but what the metrics prove they actually do.
But that focus on measurability must have its own drawbacks.
It absolutely does. The major risk is overvaluing numbers over intuition or strategic vision. They can struggle to simplify complex data for non-analysts, which can lead to distrust, and sometimes they prioritize what is measurable over what is truly significant.
Wait, hold on. If the data analyst is the ultimate reality check, doesn't that fundamentally conflict with the role of the experimenter and the designer? I mean, the designer relies on qualitative intuition, and the experimenter is often dealing with uncertain data from low-cost tests.
That tension is the beautiful struggle of product management. The designer says the user feels this is slow, based on observation. The data analyst comes back and says, well, the median load time is 1.2 seconds, which is above our threshold, so the data doesn't support the feeling.
And the PM has to synthesize that conflict.
Exactly. The experimenter and the designer often need the data analyst to justify their boldest moves to the rest of the business.
That full picture, the 6 different inherited biases, it really drives home the point that the PM role is not one single job. It's an amalgamation of required expertise.
It is. And if we summarize how these profiles specialize, we can clearly define the boundaries of the role. The technician naturally leads to being a product owner, focused on execution and the backlog.
While the commerce and marketing strategy profiles, they naturally align with the product marketing manager role, or a growth PM, heavily focused on upstream discovery, positioning, and revenue.
And the management commerce profile is just ideally suited to be the strategic PM, leading to head of product or CPO roles, where vision and organizational alignment are everything.
This raises the final synthesis point, the contextual advantage. How does the nature of the product itself determine which profile has the natural edge?
The product determines the weight given to each profile. I mean, if you're building highly technical products like developer platforms or infrastructure services like Stripe or AWS, the technician profile is indispensable.
They speak the language.
They speak the language, they understand the use cases, and they have the credibility to guide deep architectural decisions.
But if we look at products that rely heavily on collaboration and visual experience like Figma or Miro, the value immediately shifts toward the designer and management profiles.
For sure. their expertise in orchestrating collective use and driving adoption becomes the primary value driver there.
Conversely, for viral, rapid growth consumer products, the marketing strategy profile is the clear winner. Their culture of rapid, low-cost experimentation lets them pivot quickly.
And in the complex, high-stakes world of B2B solutions, where it's all about client relationships and large contracts, the commercial profile is key. They secure the revenue.
And of course, for analytical or AI-driven SaaS tools, the data profile is the most valuable.
Absolutely. They design and communicate the value derived from complex metrics.
So what does this all mean for the person listening to this deep dive?
It means the product manager shouldn't be seen as a single title, but more as a set of complementary hats required to manage a product successfully. Your dominant profile dictates whether you prioritize domain expertise, discovery, or execution.
So the key takeaway is knowing your own bias.
And proactively seeking partners who balance your blind spots. If you're a great seller, you absolutely must partner with a strong technician. If you're a stellar designer, you need an objectivist data analyst to anchor your insights in measurable reality. The role is defined by the gaps it's asked to fill.
Which leaves us with a truly provocative final thought on the evolution of this career.
Yeah. Given that the PM role absorbs missing expertise, what happens when a company successfully scales up and hires all those dedicated specialists? When you have a fully staffed UX research team, a dedicated data science function, and a strong PMM.
Does the product manager's role finally become what so many people idealize it to be, a highly focused role on pure strategic vision and business model innovation?
Or does the role simply become less defined because the core tasks of discovery and execution are now systematically distributed elsewhere? It suggests the next phase of product orgs will redefine the PM from a generalist chameleon to something else entirely, a hyper-focused strategic general.
Something we will definitely need to keep watching.
Day noon, a book, heartbeat running too fast. They tell him, go sailing, that's where your journey starts. In a glass wall meeting, clients drop their honest truth. And he learns impact lies where the problems break through. He thinks this isn't like the slides I've seen. Impact begins in the space between. Sales team find their way. They share their fears, the deals that fade away. He lines their voices up, the things they never said. And the room finally breathes, a spark wakes the dead. He thinks to leader listens before he speaks. Truth lights up when your name was weak. Tracks on his path, reading every sign, following the facts, he's finding his place in the impact factory. Yeah, the impact factory. He grows in the impact factory. Prototype fast. Two quick screens, a fake flow, but something stands. It's rough, it's shaky, but alive when it clicks. And he feels the first beat of a product that sticks. He thinks you don't need gold to start the game. Just something real you can test with pain. Thursday slows it down. Give us vision and name. He draws a path, a promise, a name. Friday on the field, he sees broken time drain. Hours slipping away through routines in pain. fast.